Good evening. Welcome to the Yellow Dogs. So sweet to sit with you. One of the things...
You are muted, Anita.
The whole time, I guess you're muted.
Oh, really?
I need to ring the bell again. But you have to do the sound, turn the sound back on.
Pretend I'm ringing the bell. Good evening, and so glad, so nice to sit with you tonight. I have to keep reminding myself that we have this incredible opportunity to be still in the universe, and I don't think we even realize what that does. I don't, but as I understand in the teachings, is there's an impact when we're quiet and still and conscious. It impacts all consciousness, everything, and so it's courageous. So thank you for showing up. Tonight, I want to talk about why meditation doesn't work. And as you know, I've practiced for a long, long time. Why isn't it working? And I hear this often, you know, I hear this often from other students. And why is my mind so busy? And why can't I control my thoughts? I mean, meditation's not working. If after all these years, decades of practice, and for some of us, including myself, the question comes with frustration. So what's the deal? So I say I've practiced for 40 years. Still, my mind won't settle. I can't sleep at night at times. Shouldn't I be better by now? Shouldn't I be glowing by now? But this question is both painful and most precious. It's painful because it touches our doubt and our disappointment. Oh, I'm so disappointed. But it's precious because it leads us directly to the heart of the Dharma, to the heart of the truth. We keep waking up and reminding ourselves that we have a monkey mind. It's not going to go away. It's not going to go away if we practice 40 years more. Why? Because that's the nature of our minds as human beings. They are monkey minds. That's the nature of the mind, and we cannot meditate it away. And so the Buddha once described ordinary mind as the wild monkey, just swinging from branch to branch, never satisfied, always restless. And even as long as some of us have practiced, the monkey mind doesn't stop swinging. So I'm so glad I asked that question, because I think it's important. And that may feel discouraging, but it's actually an important truth, because the purpose of meditation is not to stop the mind. It is not to stop the mind. It's to get to know it, to know the true nature of the mind, and the true nature of the mind is it's a monkey swinging all the time. So if we have those mind states, we can just remember it's, we want to change our relationship to the mind. We don't want to change nature because we can, even if we want to. So meditation enables us to sit back and see the truth, what actually is going on in any given moment. And so when we see a restless mind, I begin to think, oh, something's wrong, you know. We assume something is wrong. But restlessness is not a mistake. It's part of the natural activity of mind. And so meditation isn't about forcing silence. It's about seeing things clearly, honestly, everything, including ourselves and the monkey mind, and letting go of the need to control it. Stop it. Mind, stop it, monkey mind. And again, we continuously conceptualize. Yes, conceptualize, thank you, about what this meditation is all about. So we just kind of have to remind ourselves. Rodney Smith, one of my teachers, puts it beautifully. We're not practicing to perfect the self. We are practicing to free the self. And free the self from what? Well, free ourselves from the illusion that we think we know it. And yet things are not truly, things are not as they appear. So when we say meditation is not working, and I'm talking to myself, what do we mean? Well, it means that the mind hasn't become calm. Our sleep hasn't come. Our thoughts haven't stopped. But here's the answer. Who is it? Here's the deeper question. Who is it that's demanding results? The one who says, I should be calmer. I should be better. I should be beyond this by now. So that's the voice that is grasping the mind. That is the grasping mind. So ironically, it is this grasping that keeps us restless. And after I taught myself this lesson, Randy joined in. I mean, we shifted. There's a shift in our practice. It's kind of like we got ourselves in a little hole about, you know, why am I not calm? Even though we can, we know that's the nature of things are not calm, and we know what's going on outside of our little house. So, sure. So, I found myself pushing away busy thoughts and longing for peace. Actually fuels the very agitation we want to end. It backfires. It doesn't work. So, Buddha's teaching is simple. Peace comes not from controlling conditions, not controlling how things are, but from letting go of grasping or trying to change it in some way. So, what did I have to do? I had to turn toward restlessness. Oh, that's a big one. That's a real big one. So what do we do with the busy mind or the sleepless nights? We turn toward them. And that's how we've been trained. So we actually have to apply what we've been practicing. We turn toward the restless mind. Oh, hello, restless mind. I see you. I know you. You're there. That's your nature. Can I bow to you? Instead of seeing restlessness as an enemy, the Buddha said a million times, you know, restlessness is part of life. You know, it's one of the big hindrances when we start meditating is restlessness. How can I take this chaotic life and sit still and be quiet for any length of time? Well, it's not easy, as you well know. It is not easy. So we bring the busy mind into the practice. We bring the busy mind into the practice. We notice how it feels in the body. It's a tightness or something, a tightness in the chest or in the stomach or, you know, the body is responding. We know that. But we're not noticing it. We notice the emotions, the frustration, the fear, the disappointment. We notice, and notice that I'm just saying notice. We notice the thoughts, I should be calmer. I should have peace. And yet I know, because the Buddha has said it many, many times, there's only one way peace occurs. And it comes from within. So if we're worrying about the busy mind, we're not practicing. So we begin to notice the thoughts that we are saying about the mind. So rather than trying to push them away, we simply say, this too belongs. I love that. I'm going to set an intention to create that phrase to keep coming up. This too is part of practice. This too belongs. That is as deep as we can go, or anyone else can go. It's deeper than deep. It's all practice. And we know we practice with the acronym RAIN, and really that's applied with all everything in our lives, to recognize and notice what's actually going on, not what the mind's thinking or someone else is telling us or we're seeing. We're recognizing what's happening in any given moment, and we're allowing it. Oh, isn't that interesting? And that's the third, because that interest is important. When we get interested enough, then things shift. Because what happens with the end is we begin to see it's not us. It's just phenomena. It's stuff that comes up and it's stuff that falls away. Everything. And so we recognize, we allow, we investigate, we nurture. And so restlessness can be a perfect place for RAIN. Recognizing the busy mind, allowing it, not letting it, liking it, but letting it be. Remember, we don't have to like everything. We don't have to like everything. And that's okay, because that's in our DNA. We are programmed to like, dislike, or not be interested in anything that comes through our six senses. And that's okay. That's just part of being a human being. So allowing it, investigating the eye, how it feels in the body, in the heart. And I can tell you the beauty of beginning to, and I'm talking about myself, the beauty of beginning to listen to my body more and a lot less to the mind. The body is telling me what I'm resisting. Once I'm in touch, and it's the way of life, it's the way to live. And then the nurturing, the end, nurture yourself with kindness instead of judgment. And that's another thing, is we don't know how to love ourselves, and yet it's a prerequisite if we really, really, really want to wake up. Because we are quite holy. No one's holier than anyone else. But we are quite holy. And we've been given a mind and a body. So what are we going to do with it? So restlessness is not the obstacle to meditation, but it's a strong one. And I just had a really good lesson, a really good lesson in my own personal practice. Restlessness, Anita, is the meditation. So there's a paradox of long practice. For those of us who have practiced for years or more, there's another subtle trap. The ego can shift, and we've talked about the ego many times. I'm failing to, I should have succeeded by now. Why, you know, my goodness. But the Dharma isn't a straight path to progress. We know that. It is a circle that never ends of remembering and forgetting over and over and over. And yet when we forget, how do we relate to it? Because it is the truth. Being a human being, having a mind and a body, it's a circle of remembering and forgetting. It doesn't stop. Think of the ocean. On the surface, there may be endless waves, sometimes gentle, sometimes stormy. But underneath, the ocean is vast, still, and undisturbed. That's what we're practicing for our inside life. What's going on inside has everything to do with how we live our lives. But, of course, first we've got to be privy to information that maybe we haven't gotten through the years. That's what I found out. Oh, my, I didn't know that. Mom and Dad did not teach me that. The church did not teach me that. So, but underneath the ocean is vast, it's still, and it's undisturbed. And that is peace. It's the only place on this planet we find peace. It's not going to find it anywhere else. Is within. It's the peace within. And so, what are we fighting? What are we pushing against? What are we grasping? Well, that's what meditation informs us about ourselves. Oh, but I don't want to hear those things about. Well, too bad. Then don't go ahead and suffer. Because that level of truth is just as important as any other level of truth. So the mind's like the ocean. The surface waves will always move. But our practice invites us to rest in the depth. The depth of what? The depth within us. And not to control the waves. And so, we've got a little bit more time. So what about those times when restlessness shows up at night and sleep won't come? Well, here are some gentle practices. And remember, they're practices. So if you hear them and you don't do them, they're useless. So instead of the long, upright meditation, soften the body and feel what it feels like to meditate in bed or laying down or lying down. Why not? Well, I had a teacher who said he wouldn't let anybody lay down. I mean, you went to him. We were at a long retreat, and a woman just had back surgery. And he says, no, you will sit up straight, or just go home. So, you can see how dogmatic we can get. And then simply feeling the breath or the weight of the body against the bed. It's putting you in the present moment. I've had 2 years to say, Anita, it's time to go to sleep. I had to remind myself. So shift from trying to stop these thoughts when we're trying to go to sleep to repeating. And Joe, you and Lindsay, you two reminded of us of this, is repeating loving kindness phrases to ourselves. May I be at ease. May I rest. May I be safe. So, or in the day with gratitude reflection. And this is preparation to settle the mind and the body. Recalling small moments of goodness. And that softens us. It softens the grasping mind, the monkey mind. And remember, sleep may or may not come. But resting in awareness is itself a kind of deep rest. So we're resting more than we think. So when meditation doesn't seem to work, perhaps it is working in ways we can't see. And the measure of practice is not whether the mind is quiet. The measure is whether the heart is free. Free to be patient, free to be compassionate, free to meet life as it is. So the Buddha really never promised us a silent mind. Did you ever find that? Somehow I concocted that along the way. But again, it was conceptualized. He promised freedom from suffering, and that freedom comes from not controlling life, but from opening to it with wisdom and love. And remember, we have to remind ourselves. That's why coming together every week as a group, we can remind ourselves. I'm reminding myself like I'm reminding everybody else. But again, it's part of the practice, is reminding ourselves. So even if our mind is restless, even if sleep doesn't come, trust this. You are learning the truth. The Dharma is working in you. The truth is working in you. So we can rest in that confidence together. And just to remember the nature of the mind. The mind is not wise. We know it is useful and productive, but is not. We can't go to it for wisdom. We've got people thinking they are a king, and you've got other people thinking he is a king. Where does that come from? Directly from the mind. And it can trick us into thinking that I'm the king. So even if the way the king is leading us over the cliff, the mind needs management. The mind needs reign. The mind needs to be known. And so with this lesson that I've given to myself, and you happen to be sitting around me, thank you very much for listening. And now we're open up to you for any questions or clarifications or anything you want to say. Randy's going to come over.